Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the plan that you have for us. Thank you for our apostle, this apostolic house. Thank you for the agenda that we are a part of. Thank you for divine order. God, we just are grateful that you sent your son Jesus to make all this possible, that we can boldly come into the throne room of grace and when we need to. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for opening up the word of God to us tonight. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Genesis, the third chapter. Apostle been dealing on Wednesday nights with maturity and dealing with us maturing. And so we're endeavoring, when I say we, meaning you and I, us, are endeavoring to mature as apostle is leading us to. And it's important that we mature because mature people create culture. Mature people create culture. Holy Spirit, I was asking the Holy Spirit, I know Webster has this definition. I know different dictionaries have their definition of culture. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I wanted to ask the Holy Spirit what this culture means to him. And he spoke to me and said, culture is unwritten rules about the house, or unwritten rules about a group of people that cause them to behave in a certain way. And so most of the times what you have in our world system, we have different cultures. And what happens is when the problem comes in is when people try to change cultures. You know, you may come from one culture, and because you come from one culture, you go into another culture and you want that culture to be like you. That's not going to happen.
Amen.
All cultures are different. And so in this particular apostolic house, World of Life, it's going to cause us to act differently. It's going to cause us to be different. And so we're not going to look like everybody else. We're not going to behave like everybody else. And so it will cause sometimes strange looks, sometimes criticism. But when you mature, when you are a mature Christian and you are helping to create culture, you are also helping not just to create culture, but you're setting a pattern that others may follow.
Amen.
People will not follow someone who has not done the impossible. People will not join themselves to people who look like them. You have to look different. You have to offer something that they already don't have. And so that's why it's important that we mature as Christians, so that people that are behind us or next to us or in front of us or around us can see there is a difference to what's happening in our lives than theirs. One of the things that Christians fail to realize is the true meaning or the true purpose of salvation, the true reason why Jesus came and died on the cross. Because we live in a self-centered society, because we live in a self-centered society, we have a tendency to read the Bible self-centered. And those who are in training center in the first year, they know that I like to use the word God-centric and self-centric. And so a lot of times we read the word of God from a self-centric point of view and not a God-centric point of view. What I mean by God-centric point of view, meaning God is in, I don't really like where it says, where people says, or people try to categorize God. Apostle said, God said, take me off your list, right? When he said that, the Holy Spirit gave me, in my mind, gave me of what that meant. That means God is the center. God is the center, and everything else in my life revolves around him. So that means in my life there are no conflicts. And watch this. When something tries to conflict with God being the center of my life, it's easy. I automatically know this ain't for me. Because he's the center. And if God is not the author of confusion, if he's the center, everything else is going to revolve around. So we have a tendency to read the word of God from a self-centric point of view instead of a God-centric point of view. And that's the same way we take salvation. We take salvation as a self-centric idea when salvation is supposed to be a God-centric idea. We became born again because God needed to use us. Most of us see getting born again, watch this, getting born again as us just going to heaven. Right? But yet, we read the word of God and we see the word of God numerous times begins to talk about life here on earth. Begins to talk about what God is wanting to do for us here. What God wants us to do for him here. Are you seeing this? So in order for us to really grasp and mature and create this apostolic culture, we're going to have to start seeing the word of God from his point of view and not from our saving point of view. Amen. Is this making sense? Genesis, the third chapter. This is the third chapter. And I want you to see a particular verse, the 22nd verse. Because I want to make a case tonight of creating this apostolic culture and us maturing so that we can really understand how effective this apostolic leadership, apostolic government, divine order can be effective in our lives if we allow it. If we allow it. All right. If we allow it. All right. Watch this. The third chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, "And God said, behold, the man has become one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore," verse 23, "therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove man out. He drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now, watch this, dude. God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. So now, watch this. The garden is no longer a geographical location. The garden is now a position with him. How do I know that? How do I know that it's no longer a geographical location, but it is a position with him, meaning a position with God? It's a relationship. We have to be in a certain position in a relationship with him for us to return to Eden. How do I know that? Well, we go to the last verse in that chapter. And we see what did he block the Garden of Eden with? He blocked the Garden of Eden. He drove man out. He drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden a cherubim. And watch this. A flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of what?
The tree of life.
The tree of life. Now, the reason why God put Adam and Eve out of the garden is because they had free access to the tree of life, meaning they were going to be able to live forever. But God said, you cannot live forever in this particular state. So that means before they ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were already destined to live forever. Why? Because they were connected to him. All right. So here it is. God blocks the Garden of Eden with a cherubim, which is an angel, and a flaming sword. Now, you have to understand how to read the word of God and how to meditate the word of God. The flaming sword. When we talk about a sword, what are we usually referring to when we talk about in the Bible? What a sword is? The word of God. In the Bible, also, there are a few definitions or a few ways or a few definitions of the word flame. But what represents the positive flame or the positive fire? The Holy Spirit. So here it is. God has blocked the Garden of Eden with his messenger, angel, right? With his messenger, right? Cherubim. And a flaming sword. Other words, the word of God illuminated by the Holy Spirit. So if we want to return to the tree of life, there's two things we're going to have. A messenger and a word from God illuminated by the Holy Ghost. All right. Go with me to John, the 10th chapter. Notice a cherubim and a flaming sword. Now see, that's why most carnal Christians will never get to the Garden of Eden. Because the most precious thing in the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. That was the most precious. That's why Eden, so people talk about Eden so much, is because the tree of life. In other words, you eat off this tree, you got life. Right? John 10:10. Watch what this is. Very familiar scripture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that what? You might have life, and that they. Now we're going to see this word more than one time, might. That they might have it more abundantly. So here we see Jesus, and we're going to do this quick. We won't be long tonight. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, here's what I'm talking about, having a God-centric view of salvation instead of a self-centric view of salvation. If salvation just was about us getting to heaven, then the question you should be asking yourself is, why am I still here? It's a very valid question, right? Because if salvation was just about getting to heaven, as soon as you say, Jesus, I recognize you as Lord of my life. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need you to come into my heart. You are now my Savior. God is now my Father. I've confessed with my mouth, believed in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I shall be saved. Poof, you should have been gone. But Jesus here is saying, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I've come that you might have life and have it what? So that means Jesus is the one that's supposed to bring us back to the tree of life. But better yet, let's say it like this. Jesus is the one that puts us in the position to access the tree of life. Go with me to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. So we see Jesus said, he's come that we might have life and that we might have it, that we might have it more abundantly. So that means right there, Jesus wasn't expecting us to get born again and go anywhere. He's expecting us to be born again and stay here. Right? Now, in order to understand why, you're going to Galatians 3:13, but in order for us to understand why we, if you always want to know God's original plan, you should always go to the original book, which is Genesis. Now, God was working with Adam and Eve. Of course, we've talked about this before, working with Adam and Eve to train them on how to go into the outer darkness. He was training them because Eden wasn't the whole earth. Because if Eden was the whole earth, where did he, when he put them out, where they went? See, they was always going to go to the outer darkness. But they went to the outer darkness not fully trained. Is this making sense? See, our lives are no different. Our lives are no different. The challenges that we face are opportunities for us to be bright. Because the light is living on the inside of me. Are you seeing this? So in order for me to access the tree of life, the tree of life, we've seen that in Genesis 3rd chapter. In order for me to access this tree of life, I have to have a messenger and a word from God illuminated by the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important that we understand why Christ came back. Christ came and died for our sins for a positional reason. Not for us to escape. See, most of us are trying to escape challenges when you're supposed to dominate challenges. Most of us trying to escape darkness. Why are you running from darkness when darkness dispels when you show up? Darkness dispels when you show up because you are light. All right? So Christ came for positional reasons. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. In other words, I am in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. That means I'm positioned. Listen, because this is very clear. This is very, this has to be very clear to you. I'm positioned to access the messenger and a word illuminated by the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. All right. Galatians 3. Galatians 3:13. Here we see it again. This is the Apostle Paul pretty much reiterating what John 10:10 is talking about. He says here in the 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from what? So if he's redeeming us from the curse of the law, then he must be positioning us for the blessing of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse of the law. Curse of the law is three things. Second death, which is eternal, watch this, eternal separation from God, sickness and disease, and poverty. Christ redeemed us from those things. So if he redeemed us from those things, then when in our lives, we should be experiencing prosperity, health, and eternal connection to God. Him being our Father, right? It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? Now, this is very key, because I need to make a case for apostolic government. I need to make a case for apostolic leadership. I need to make a case of why we have to mature in the apostolic to create this culture so that when others come behind us, they can realize they don't have to be taught everything. Some things they can catch. Watch this, verse 14. Verse 13 happens so that verse 14 can take place. Watch what it says. That the what?
Blessings.
Of who?
Abraham.
Now this is key. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through. So that means that's still Jesus. It's a positional thing. Right? The blessing of Abraham comes on us because, watch this. The blessing of Abraham has the right to come on us because of Jesus Christ. Right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? The statement that the blessing of Abraham. Now I find that very, very specific. She's not talking about any blessing. The blessing of Abraham. All right. The blessing of Abraham. Not the blessing of the blessings of, it didn't say the blessings of Christ.
Come on with me now. Come on. It said the blessing of Abraham because it's trying to get us to see something. Go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Making a case for this apostolic culture that we're creating. Making a case for apostolic leadership. Making a case for apostolic order. All right? Because this is important. Because remember, the Garden of Eden, was in the Garden of Eden was a tree of life. Notice he said he blocked Eden. He blocked Eden so with a cherubim and flaming sword so we couldn't access what? The tree of life. Right? So that means we need a messenger and a word from God illuminated by the Holy Spirit to access the tree of life. All right? Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord has said, verse 1, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Right? Verse 3. This is important. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee. In who? In Abraham. In Abraham. In Abraham. In Abraham. Right? That's the word they say, right? In Abraham. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So now we go back to Galatians 3 and 14. And we see that the 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, right? That the blessing of Abraham, what it says? What? Might. That means it's conditional. So what are the conditions? See, there's a condition. See, that proves right there that Jesus came for a positional reason. So once you get born again, there's something else you're going to have to do. Just because you got born again doesn't mean you're going to experience the blessings of Abraham. Being born again positions you for the blessings of Abraham. That the blessings of Abraham might. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So we see in Genesis, the 12th chapter, God lays out to Abraham a game plan. He told Abraham more specifically, the third verse, and I will bless them that bless thee. Let's define the word bless. It simply means to empower, to prosper, or to make successful. He said, God is God talking to Abram. I will empower to prosper and make successful them that empower and make you successful. Amen. Now, the question is, why did God make those that helped Abraham successful? Why did God bless them or empower them to prosper that helped Abraham? See, that's the question. Because verse 1 tells us, he said, now get thou from thy kindred. Leave your mother and father. I'm going to show you a land. God was trying to do something. See, this is why we cannot just read the word of God from a self-centric point of view, but read it from his point of view. He was trying to accomplish something. And the only person he can get at the time to hear him was Abram. So he told Abram, I'm going to get you to do some things, but now watch this. Everybody that helps you. Notice what he said. Notice what he's telling Abram. He's telling Abram, I am going to empower to prosper and make successful everybody that helps you prosper and be successful. Yeah. Prosperity is another word for success. Everything going right, right? So he's saying, watch this. So Jesus came that the blessing of Abraham, what? Might. Right? That means it's conditional. I have to go back and see what the blessing of Abraham entailed in order for me to access it. So we go back to Genesis, the third chapter, and we see that the blessings of Abraham came on those that helped him. Because him, meaning Abram, had an assignment from God. Are you seeing this? So Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from the curse of the law, to put us back in the blessings of the law. All right. So that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, might come on us. Got to go back. I'm repeating myself on purpose because I want to make a case of apostolic order. When you go back to Genesis, the third chapter, we see this. He said, watch this. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going we see it happening before he told Abraham. You go to the story of Noah. And you see Noah was given instructions, was given an assignment. And you only find certain people surviving the flood. And you can directly connect. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You can directly connect the reason why they were able to survive the floods. You can directly connect it. It was not because of relationship. The relationship put them in a position. But it's because they put their hands on the ark. They helped build the ark. Because the Bible says that Noah and his sons helped build the ark. And so when it came time for people to go in the ark, it was only those that had helped build the ark. See, this is why it's important that we create a culture, this apostolic culture, so that those that come and see our lives will be able to understand without being told. See, it's wonderful. It's a great thing. It's an awesome thing that you got born again. But being born again only positions you for the tree of life. But there's some other things you're going to have to do. There's some other connections you're going to have to make. Jesus died that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. We see that the blessings of Abraham can only come on you when you connect to somebody who has an agenda from God. I'm about to mess you up. See, because there's a number of reasons of why the church has gotten away from apostolic order. Number one, in Isaiah 59, it begins, you don't have to turn there, and I think it's maybe the fifth or sixth verse, it began to talk about how the leaders begin to say, thus said the Lord, and God ain't said nothing. So we got people, watch this. Do you know why denominations develop? Denominations develop because of control. Instead of God being in control, man wanted to be in control. So what happens is man gets a revelation from God, and because they don't want to keep moving with God, they want to keep going that same circle, they put a denomination title on it. And so you notice denominations go in circles. This is what we believe, and they got their tenets, and they just go around them tenets. God might be trying to come in and add to what they're saying. No, this is what we believe. This is what we. They're not steady moving with God. Are you seeing this? So So you have to understand that in your maturing, you're going to have to understand this apostolic government, understanding this apostolic order. It is not, watch this, it is not about control. See, I want you to understand this. Authority has an element of control in it. We know this, right? It has an element of control in it. But the thing is, you choose to submit to it. Now, once you choose to submit to it, watch this, use this example. In Word Life Christian Center, we understand that apostle is the one in the house, is the one that God chose to lead this house. So therefore, he has God's ear about this agenda more than anybody else. So therefore, nobody else can come in, and nobody else in the house can tell us how this agenda is supposed to be run. Right? So if you're not, if you forget, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, if you forget what God has spoken to you about your connection, if you forget about it, it'll begin to feel like control to you. But it's not control. It's just what happened is our thought process has gotten messed up. Because really what apostle is doing is controlling this agenda. So therefore we can't attach to the agenda and then want things to go our way. Is this making sense? So if I lose sight, if I lose sight that God spoke to me about connection to this agenda, then when shifts are being made and I don't like them, it's, go to Mark 4. See, this is what happens to people in Mark 4. Watch this. Mark 4. Because remember, you need a messenger and a word from God illuminated by the Holy Spirit, the flaming sword. Without those two, you can't get to the tree of life. You're only positioned to get to the tree of life. What is the tree of, let's define what the tree of life is. The tree of life is not just going to heaven. The tree of life is going to heaven, and on my way to heaven, I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to be healthy. Every challenge that I'm designed to face, notice what I said, every challenge that I'm designed to face, I'm going to run through it like it didn't exist. Mark the 4th chapter. See, you're designed to face certain challenges. That's why you were made a dominator. That's why you're more than a conqueror. That's why all things work together for the good, for them that love God and are called according to his. Mark 4, watch this. This is what happens to people. Because we see it happen a lot. All right, watch this, walk for it, watch this. Go to the, this is Jesus talking about the soil sowing the word, is this parable, right? And then Jesus started talking about the different type of grounds that the soul, that the seed fell on. Then he began to explain it, right? So we get to the 18th verse. And he began to explain about the seeds that fell on the grounds with the thorns on it. And then he said, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, right? So watch this. We're so self-centric that we just think this talking about, the revelation I got or the revelation I had. Ooh, that word was good. No, what this is talking about, this is talking about apostolic direction. This is talking about apostolic instructions. This is talking, because watch what it says. Watch this. At verse 19. And the what? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So other words, we can't let the challenges that we face choke what God has said to us. Let's get one thing straight. You're going to face challenges. You're going to face obstacles, but you can't let those obstacles change what God has told you. We see it happen a lot. Lot left with Abram. Started off helping Abram become successful. Help Abram do what God has asked him to do. And he became just as great as Abram. But then the cares of the world.
Abraham, our servants are feuding over land. They're feuding over water. They're feuding over grazing land. We need to resolve this problem. That's not how you do this. That's not how you do that. He should have never approached Abram. Why he should have never approached Abram? Because, watch this, because you found the messenger. And you found the flaming sword. And so because you found those two, the results start happening in your life. So let's do deductive reasoning. Before I left with Abram, I didn't have this stuff. This stuff only showed up after I left with Abram. So obviously Abram is a catalyst to this stuff happening to me. So therefore, if anybody on my end has a problem with Abram, then they got a problem with me. Because I'm not going to let them stop me from helping him do what he do, because I only get blessed, I'm only empowered to prosper because of my positioning. And because of my positioning, what I'm doing with my position. But when we see the cares of the world trip Lot up. And if you go back and read Lot's life, you see it was just down here from there. Why? It's because he stopped doing Genesis 12 and 3. He stopped doing Genesis 12 and 3. He was no longer, watch this, he was no longer trying to bless Abraham. Actually, he became a hindrance to Abraham. Because Abraham had to keep going and get him. You cannot let the cares of the world, what are the cares of the world? Go back to John 10:10. What are the cares of the world? Go to John 10:10. We're about to see something here. John, the 10th chapter, 10th verse. We've just been there already, but we're going to see. Now we're going to get to the A part, what the A part is really trying to do. It says, the thief cometh not but to what? To kill and to destroy. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Translation. The cares of life. The cares of life. He's trying to use the cares of life to get you unfocused. To get you unfocused from what God has said to you. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Here is. An apostolic prayer. I pray this prayer every day. If not every day, every other day. Verbatim. Why I do it? If it was good enough for Jesus. Because then you see, after he prayed that prayer, the things he began to list. The things he began to say after that prayer. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, watch. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 9. He said, after this matter, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You see this? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What part of that had anything to do with you and what you want? Once again, we have to begin to see the word of God from a God-centric point of view instead of a self-centric point of view. All right? Let's keep reading.
Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as hypocrites as of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. All right? But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But verse 20, but lay up yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. Verse 22, watch this. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Other words, what Jesus is saying is, Jesus is saying, where's your focus? If you focus on the cares of the world, you're focusing on darkness. And if you're focusing on darkness, you're taking in darkness. So if you're taking in darkness and you put and you watch this, and you are drowning out the light. You are drowning out the light. What's the light? The light represents the word of God. What is on the inside of you? You're looking at the cares of the world instead of, watch this, having your eyes full of light. When you don't have your eyes full of light, and I'm going to go what it means to have be full of light. When you don't have your eyes full of light and you are focusing on the cares of the world, then that darkness begins to overtake the light that is on the inside of you. But if your eyes are full of light, then that light that comes in, watch this, can illuminate the light that's on the inside of you even brighter. What does it mean to have my eyes full of light? I'm glad you asked. Go to Joshua 1 and 8, because I'm about to mess you up again. See, we got to begin to see the word of God from an apostolic standpoint, not just from a self-centric standpoint. We can't just see the word of God from a religious standpoint. We have to see the word of God from an illuminated, Holy Spirit illuminated point of reference. Because watch this. If the Bible says a man can receive nothing except it comes from heaven. Look, we can't understand this word until the Holy Spirit brings it to our understanding. The children of Israel, watch this, the children of Israel was in slavery. Didn't look like they were going to ever get out until a man showed up with an illuminated word from God. Did I told you to turn? Watch this, I'm about to mess you up. About Joshua. What it means to have my eyes full of light. We're going to close here. What it means to have my eyes full of light. Now, I got to set this up now. Joshua, the first chapter, we're going to start the first verse, right? Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord, who?
The Lord,
right? Now, the Bible says the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I've said unto Moses. All right, this sounding familiar. This is the same thing God told Abraham. Right? All right. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. God is laying out. This is what I want you to have. This is what I'm preparing for you to have. This is all yours. Verse 5. There should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. All right. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The first word in verse 8. This. Not a. This. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law. I think I saw that right. Wait a minute. Hold on. I think it. Verse 7, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. All right, watch this. Then God, who's talking? God, right? He said, this book. What book? Hold on, wait a minute now. We have to keep everything in chronological order. God cannot be talking about this book. Because this book wasn't complete. So he who's talking? God's talking. Now picture this now. God is talking to Joshua face to face. And while he's talking to Joshua face to face, he's telling Joshua, do what Moses told you to do. I'm making a case for apostolic order. He said, this is God talking to Joshua. Now he said, watch this, watch what he said. He said, now, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Just like I was with Moses. Everything I told Moses I was going to give him, give you the same thing. Only be strong. Only be courageous. Do everything Moses told you to do. Don't turn from the left. Don't turn to the right. Eyes full of light. I'm not turning from the left or to the right. You got me? He said, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth. This book. What book? The book Moses just gave him. I see some of y'all ain't. Because I'm about to show you how that book gonna work for Joshua. In other words, what it's simply saying is, what Moses told you to do, I don't want you to turn from the left or to the right of it. I need you to meditate on it. I need you to meditate on it because in your meditation, you're going to discover what I want you to do. All right, remember now, remember. In order to get to the tree of life, we have to have a messenger and a flaming sword. In Joshua's life, Moses was the messenger who brought the what? So therefore, God told Joshua to meditate on this flaming sword day and night. Now, what's supposed to happen when he meditate on it day and night? When he meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make that way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. There's no reason why God will connect you to Apostle Thompson and send your instructions somewhere else. Remember now, what we need to get to the Garden of Eden or the Tree of Life. So now, watch this. What part did Jesus play in this? He positioned us. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Right? So now I'm in direct alignment with God. Because I'm in direct alignment with God, I have the right to choose to be in direct alignment with what he's doing in earth realm. See, once again, it's a choice. Moses told the people of God one time, he said, this day I call heaven and earth a record, and it's a record against you as a witness. I set before you death and life. Choose life. God didn't say that. Moses said it. Moses said, I'm set before you death and life. Choose life. So if Moses got to say choose life, that it means it's possible for you to choose. Yeah. Or, in other words, separation from the agenda of God. Yeah. See, what we have to understand by apostolic order, Jesus put us in a position to be fruitful in apostolic order. But in order for us to be fruitful, he put us in a position. He put us in a position. But in order for us to be fruitful to apostolic order, we have to be connected to an agenda. You cannot be connected to the agenda of God unless you're connected to somebody who knows the agenda of God. God told Abram, I'm going to bless those that bless you until all the families of the earth be blessed. So therefore, watch this. I want you to see this. Don't take your Sundays and your whizzes and your time, and watch this, the time that you listen to Apostle Thompson as just passing by. Or I'm just going to church. Oh, I think I'm doing the right thing. No, this is, watch this. Remember now, two things you need to get to the tree of life. So when Apostle begins to speak prophetically to us, there's some things in your life that you wouldn't have not discovered unless you had a messenger. There's some missing parts to your life that now has fell in place because you had a messenger. Are you seeing this? So the trick of the enemy, the thief coming out but for to, what he's trying to do, he's trying to shift your focus from seeing the challenges that you face from being opportunities for you to conquer and be dominant to realize that this is happening to me because of who I am. Other words, it's turning to be cares of the world. So now your focus is not on what God has said and what he is telling you. Your focus is what's going on around you. So the cares of the world is going to put pressure on you. The cares of the world will put pressure on you. But the way you get that pressure off of you is you understand that you have a messenger and a flaming sword. See, the children of Israel were under pressure in slavery. They didn't know if they were ever going to get out. Matter of fact, they had become accustomed to it. But then God sent a messenger with a flaming sword coming from a flaming bush. To every person that heard what Moses said and did what Moses said, walked out, because there was two instructions that they received. Two. Two instructions. He told them, put the blood over the doorpost. Then he said, go borrow. Because of those two instructions, the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, rich, healthy, and on their way to where God wanted them to go. Now, listen to me very clearly by apostolic order. Without Moses having those instructions, they would have never discovered their destiny. So the main thing the enemy does not want you to understand is apostolic order. He don't want you to understand. He wants to translate it to you as control. But remember, it's not control because you chose to submit to it. So when I choose to submit to something, that means that if it takes a different turn, I may not like it, but I'm changing with it. See, when you're able to make those shifts and you don't let the cares of the world choke the word, then you're able to withstand. You're able to endure. Then Galatians 6 and 9, last scripture, 6 and 9. Galatians 6 and 9. Watch what it says. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. See, once again, because we've been tricked to read the word of God from a self-centric point of view instead of a God-centric point of view, we think this is doing, watch this, let us be weary and well-doing. We think the well-doing is within our power and what we figure out. No, the well-doing comes from apostolic instruction. Therefore, let us not be weary in following apostolic instructions. For in due season, we shall reap if you don't walk away, if you don't give up, if you don't let the cares of the world cave you in. Sometimes your life, it may look like you ain't going nowhere. It may look like stuff ain't changing. It may look like things are appearing not to be moving out of your way. I know I got mountains moving faith, but sometimes this mountain act like it just don't want to move. That's why you have a messenger and a flaming sword. That's why you can't turn to the left or to the right. That's why your eyes have to be full of light so that, watch, in my well-doing, I will not get weary. I won't faint. Because what? In due season, I'll reap if I faint not. Do not let the cares of the world, do not let the enemy do to you what he did to Lot. Every one of us, I was in tears a couple of Sundays ago with Brother John. I was in tears because I got some testimonies just like he got. I can identify with him. I can identify that because I was in a certain position, listening to a certain word, that I got answers that I wouldn't have normally got, that caused me to walk things out that I couldn't have walked out on my own. Now, why in the world am I gonna let somebody, something, talk me out of this? Why am I gonna let something cause me to get discouraged? Moses built altars for a reason. Moses built altars so they can remind him of what God has done. If you ever face a challenge and it look like it ain't moving, start rehearsing what God has done. Because what that's gonna do, that's gonna bring you in an attitude of thanksgiving. When you get an attitude of thanksgiving, that means your eyes open up and your heart open up so God can begin to talk to you. Remember, God is with you. Just like he's with Apostle. God is with you. We are partakers of Apostle's grace. So whenever he faces a challenge and walks through it as if it never exists, we are partakers of that grace. Lift your hand and give God a praise. You may be seated. Lift your hand if you need the offering envelope. The ushers are in the aisle to serve you. Chantel, if you don't mind, would you right mine out or left mine? We are partakers of that grace. You are partakers of that grace. Just like God is with Apostle, God is with you. You know why? Do you know why God told Joshua, he used Moses as a reference. He used Moses as a reference. He said, Joshua, because see, he kept telling Joshua, only be strong, be courageous. Only be strong, only be courageous. Joshua, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. So in Joshua's mind, Joshua can remember all the times that God has spent with Moses. So watch this. As God is with Apostle, God is with us. As God is with, so when you're facing your situations, you watch this. You can tell yourself, God is with me. Just like he's with Apostle. I'm a partaker of that grace. You have to tell yourself that. I'm a partaker of that grace. God, I am helping your servant. I'm connected to your servant. God, you told everybody that connect to Abraham, they're going to be blessed. God, I'm connected to your servant, Apostle Thompson. I'm a partaker of that grace. Thank you, sir. I am a partaker of that grace. Why do you think God said in 1 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God? What he said? You know, establishing his position. Believe his prophets. Does that make sense to you? Is that making sense to you? See, what happens is people are trying to take a position and make God do things from a position when God has done everything he's going to do already. He's got it wrapped up in his agenda. That's why he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first God's ways of doing things and his righteous, doing them his way right. And what's supposed to happen? What things? Look at the 32nd verse. The Gentiles do seek after all these. What do the Gentiles seek after? Come on. So we get out of here. Come on. Father, thank you so much for your love, so much for your presence in us, around us, and for us. Thank you for these seeds that you've given us. Thank you for the ground that we're sowing them in. And God, thank you for the harvest that comes from them. God, you're so kind to us and so wonderful. We give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.